We're beginning the sector tennis. The beginning of the vine.
Oh, made a scene yesterday.
Yes.
There, right.
So
Start
we're
again.
beginning Masechta Tainis, where the subject of the Masechta, the three main subjects of the Masechta are fasts for rain. So it begins by talking about when we start davening for rain, and then most of the first and second perek talks about the actual fasts in case there isn't rain. The third perek then talks about fasts for various other problems, and there in the third perek you have an enormous piece of Agadta about very a lot of it about various chachamim and where rain came in. There's chus, but then it talks about a lot of other things involving various chachamim and nisim and things that happen with them as well. In fact, the Rishonim call that perek Pirkei Chasidim, the perek of the chasidim, because it's all about the chasidisha acts and the nisim that happened to these various great people. And then the end of the Masechta talks about mostly about the fasts that we have, the scheduled ones that are on the calendar, the various ones that have to do with the korban. The Rebbe actually points out in a footnote to a sicha that the Masechta actually, even though the body of the Masechta talks about ta'anesim for negative things, the beginning and end of it are both described in such a way as to negate the whole necessity for a fast. The beginning of it talks about davening for rain and Hashem providing rain, which avoids the need for fasts for rain. And the end of it talks about that the tzaddikim, there's going to be such a gilui of the course that there won't be any need for fasts, and all the fasts from the korban are going to be transformed into yom tovim and so on. Anyway, so the Mishnah begins by asking the Amosai Maskirin Gvuras Geshamim, from what point on in the year do we start mentioning and davening Gvuras Geshamim, which the Gemara is going to explain why we call it Gvuras, that we start mentioning Masha V'ruach HaMoed HaGeshem. So the Gemara asks, Shaula B'Gemara, Al Masha Shaninu Maskirin Gvuras Geshamim B'tchias HaMesim. So here it just says, Amosai Maskirin Gvuras Geshamim, and the Gemara explains that actually, it's referring, although the Gemara begins by asking, when we say Me'emasai Maskirin Gurus Geshamim, implies we know already we have to mention it. The question is only from when, where do we know we have to mention it in the first place? So the Gemara, this Shalom in there, no, it's just a paraphrase, just the Ein Yaakov's paraphrase of it. So the Gemara explains there's two things. There's a Mishnah in Brachos, when describing the order of Shemana Esra, so it mentions Maskirin Gurus Geshamim Betchias HaMesim, that the appropriate place to mention that is supposed to be in the Bracha Machayim Mesim, as we're going to learn in the Gemara why that is. So then you have that. Then you also have where it says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah V'chag Nidonin Al HaMayim, that on Sukkos were judged about the rainfall and the water supply for the whole year. So now, based on that, the Tanna can say, Me'emasai, yes, we know we have to daven for rain, but from what point in the year to begin? Do we begin? So Maskirin Gurus Geshem Mitchias HaMesim. So part of the question the Gemara asks is, Menolan Demadko Lo B'Tfilah. So where do we get specifically that it should be mentioned in davening? Which Marsha says that part of the question is, in other words, that like this, for example, we find in Shlomo HaMelech's tefillah by the Chanukah Sabayis of the first Beis Hamikdash, he has a long tefillah over there that whenever Jews need to daven, or goyim for that matter, lahavdil, need to daven for anything to Hashem, they can come to the Beis Hamikdash and daven, and Hashem will hear their tefillahs. And so he mentions, among other things, if there's a drought. So yes, if there's a drought, we understand that you need to daven and ask Hashem to provide rainfall. But where do we get that there should be an ongoing thing that no matter what, you're going to say Masha Baruch Mo Degeshem during certain times of years? The Heshiv, so the Gemara answer is the Tanya. The Pasuk says, La'avos Hashem alekechem, to love Hashem your God, ul'ovdoi, and to serve him. So the word la'ovdoi means zut tefillah. That refers to the mitzvah to daven. Now you're saying that refers to davening. Maybe not. Maybe it means the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. No, Talmud Lomar b'chol levavchem. Therefore, the pasuk continues, you're going to serve Hashem with all your heart. What service of Hashem involves the heart? Avodah of korbanos involves the hands and the other body parts that are involved in bringing the korban. Where do you have an avodah that's exclusively in the heart, heavy emezut tefillah, then you have to say necessarily that is tefillah. So we see that the avodah b'chol levavchem refers to tefillah. The Rambam, in fact, holds, based on this drasha, that it's actually a mitzvah midaraisa to daven every day. The Rambam explains in Hilchos Tefillah the concept that we have three daily tefillahs. We know it goes back to the Ovos. But it's not actually daraisa that you have to daven three tefillos a day, let alone that they have to be in a particular nusach. Minat Torah, all it is sometime during the day you have to turn to Hashem and speak to Him and praise Him and praise Him and ask Him for what you need and thank Him for what He's done for you. Midrabbanon, they came up with the concept of three tefillos a day, and then the Anshei Knesset HaGdola said that you have a fixed nusach, because the Rambam describes at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash, many people didn't know Lashon Kodesh properly, a person wouldn't be able to express himself properly in Lashon Kodesh, so therefore the Chum made a standard nusach. That's according to the Rambam. The Ramban argues, actually, and says that this is one of the ones that he says this is one of the ones the Rambam counts as one of the 613 mitzvahs min HaTorah, but the Ramban holds it's not. And he holds this drasha over here is only an asmachta. At most, you have that, yeah, if there's trouble, then you have a mitzvah min haTorah to daven. But there should be a mitzvah min haTorah, according to the Ramban, to daven every day, that not. In any case.
Then you go as a struggle.
What? Yeah, that's this is true. Struggle. This is true. So according to the Ramban, maybe then you would have, but anyway, yeah, but we're talking about when there's not, then yeah. Anyway, so we have established that Ovdei B'chol Levavcha means to daven. And then the next pasuk continues, I will give the rain, implying, in other words, that the request for rain has to come together with davening. It also implies that if you daven properly, there will be rain. So therefore, that's the connection. That's where we get that it's not just when there's a necessity for it, as Marshall says, when there's a drought, for example, that we should daven for rain, but that all the time we shouldn't daven. Now, my iri de Tony gvuris geshamim. The next question the Gemara asks is, why does it say me'imasai meskiun gvuris geshamim? Me'imasai meskiun hag shamim, it should say. Me'imasai meskiun alag shamim with something. Listening maskiun alag shamim. Why mention the word gvuris? So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mepneshi yodin be gvura toni lag gvuris. Because rain falls through Hashem's power of gvura, and therefore we call it gvura. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, oisek dolus adein cheker. And the pasuk says Hashem does great things that are we can't even measure, we can't even figure out how much they are. And another pasuk says anoisin mater al pnei oritz for Gomer, that Hashem gives rain on the ground. So we see that the gdolos of Hashem are that the gdolos of Hashem include rain. Actually, Tosfos and Marashah point out that really now here you have, if you look in the Maor Mekoymos here, you have E of Tes and then you have E of Hay. So what do they have one to do with the other? There are many psukim apart. So Marsha says, and Tosfos says similarly, that really the Gersa is supposed to be Oisik Dolus Be'ein Cheker. People, when they were copied out the Gemara, they're more familiar with Oisik Dolus Adein Cheker, because we say it in Davening and Ma'ariv. But the actual reference is supposed to be a similar pasuk earlier in Iyot Perakei, which says Oisik Dolus Be'ein Cheker. And then the next pasuk is Hanoisin Matar Apnei Oret. So that establishes that there really is a connection, a direct connection between Dolus and Rin. Marshall also adds the point is when we say ad ein cheker, what we mean is and when we say ad ein cheker and ad ein misper mean ve ein cheker, ve ein misper, whatever, it includes the fact that ve ein misper includes the point that the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, every single raindrop and every single bolt of lightning has its own unique path. Otherwise, the Gemara says if two raindrops came out of the same place in a cloud, or two lightning bolts went along the same path, then it would damage or destroy the world. So therefore, so that's Hashem has in Cheker and in Misper an infinite number of ways of path and of paths for each individual raindrop and for each individual lightning bolt. And the Ve'en Cheker, the Gemara is going to go on to say that this has to do with Briyas HaOlam. The point is that a person can go and delve into and figure out the science of how the world works. He's still not going to understand it fully. Ultimately, we only know the fullness of how the world works by learning what the Torah tells us. And even that, there comes a point beyond which we can't understand. So that's the Ein Cheker.
Rain is a sin and bracha. We know that.
Yes.
Without the rain, there's no plants. We don't eat. We all dead out of the
new.
So why is rain considered gavuros from Hashem and not chesed from Hashem?
Hold on. Let's talk. Okay. It's a good question. So wait. Anyway, but first let's establish. We say Oisek Dolus Anin Cheker, but where do we have Gvura? So like this. So my mashma, where do we get? Because it says Oisek Dolus Ve'en Cheker Hanois and Mutter, that should have anything to do with Gvura, Omer Rav Barshila Asya Cheker Cheker Mibriyasa Shal Olam. Because in turn, once we have the posik Oisek Dolus Adein Cheker or Ve'en Cheker, then we have a similar posik that also uses the word Cheker in connection with Hashem creating the world. Sivacha Oisik Dolus Adin Thicker, Uchtivasim, you have a Pasik in Ishaya, Haloya Daita in Loishamaita, haven't you heard, don't you know, haven't you heard, Elikei Olam Hashem, Hashem is the God of the world, Bodik then, Olam also means forever, Hashem is the God forever, Bodik Tsoisa Oretz, he created the ends of the earth, Lo Yiaf Lo Yiga, he never gets tired and never gets worn out, unlike the various other powers in the world. Ein cheker l'svunasa. There's no cheker. There's no seeking out Hashem's thoughts. Uchtiv. And then we have another pasuk. Uchtiv. Mechin horim b'choychein nezer b'gvura. Hashem prepares the mountains with his koyach. He is girded with strength. So we see that the creation of the world involved gvura. And since we're saying that the cheker means there's a comparison between briyasa olam and rain, then therefore that means that rain also is involved with gvura. So in other words, the pasuk Mechin Horim B'choyche is referring, Tosfos points out, must necessarily refer to Briyas Olam. When did Hashem set up the mountains with his power? By Briyas Olam. Therefore, we see that, and we see that that's described as Gvura. Therefore, when we have the pasuk that mentions Bodek Tzoysa Oretz and Ein Cheker L'Svonasoi, then we also understand that that's referring to Hashem, the Cheker, the Ein Cheker, the infinite depth that Hashem put into the world, which we can't even, no matter how much we understand of it scientifically, no matter how much we can even understand by delving into Apitoda, there's always going to be a limit to our understanding. And then we're saying that rain is also like that. Now, you're asking then in that case, why is rain, after all, why are we putting rain together with Gvura? So there are, in fact, a few different possibilities. There are Mephoshim who point out that after all, one of the things we say that Hashem sometimes withholds the rain because people are not acting the way they should. That's an aspect of Gvura. So in other words, much more than anything else, Hashem, for example, doesn't destroy the world because people are misbehaving. So therefore, you can't say that that's an aspect of Gvura. You could, when Hashem first created the world, there's Gvura involved because you have a Pichsidus, there's the whole concept of Tzimtzum that Hashem had to conceal and to contract the Or Eloki in order to make it possible for there to be a world. That's an aspect of Gvura. We know the Altareba talks about in Shari Yichud V'Emunah, Hishem Hashemogin Avaya Elokim, that Elokim, Gvura, is like the shield that protects us from the full intensity of Elokus. Anyway, but when it comes to rain, so one point is, since Hashem sometimes withholds it, so therefore rain as a whole can be seen as an aspect of Gvura. Then there's different other points. And that Iyun Yaakov makes the point over here also that, for example, we learned in Yuma that you have, for example, sometimes people are traveling on the road and they don't want it to rain, and the Kohen Gadol would daven that Hashem should listen to their tefillah. That's also an example of Gvura. Like this chesed would be that Hashem should send the rain, that Hashem should listen to them. They daven and Hashem should accept their tefillah and not bring the rain. Instead, Hashem then exercises Gvura and doesn't fulfill their tefillah and brings the rain anyway. So that's another example.
So what is the Eberson?
No, so we're saying this is an expression of Hashem's Gvura. Bringing rain, or what Hashem does with rain, is an expression of Gvura. But now you have also Apichsidus. The Altareba explains in a mimer in Lakutei Torah that rain itself comes, now like this, if rain was purely chesed, we do talk about that water is associated with chesed, but if rain were purely chesed, it would come as one big down. Like this, it comes as individual drops. And as the Gemara says in Baba Basra, it needs to do that. Otherwise, again, it would wash away all the topsoil or whatever. So that is an expression of Gvura. So rain has to be mediated, the chesed of rain has to be mediated through Gvura in order to come to us as beneficial rain. Therefore, we can talk about it as Gvura's Geshamim. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. There's the Shivan Panama Torah. There's many different ways of looking at why rain is called Gvura. And Marsha also adds, really, that what you have is, like this, when we have gdolos, the word gvuros kind of includes both. It includes gdolos and it includes niflois, and therefore, in that sense, instead of calling gdolos geshamim or niflois geshamim or whatever, instead we call it gvuros geshamim, because speaking of gvura includes both. It includes Hashem's greatness and it includes the niflois that Hashem does. Further on, the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Gimel Maftechet B'yod Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shel Nimsiru B'yad Shliach. There are three keys that Hashem keeps in his own hand and doesn't give them over to a Shliach. Now, Rashi over here explains, and by the way, there are a number of Achronim that discuss back and forth the question, is Rashi, what we have as Rashi and Masechta Tainis, is it truly from Rashi or not? Some say yes, the Chidah, for example, says that it is, but there are a lot of mistakes in it that have come from copyists. On the other hand, for example, Maratz Chayis brings a whole raft of proofs that it's not from Rashi, and there's back and forth about it. And in recent times, they published some 20 years ago, somebody found in an old print of Gemara from the 1400s, a different version of Rashi on the first couple of blocks, which seems to be more genuinely Rashi's original Pirush, and there's quotations from Rashi's original Pirush in other Rishonim, which they collected together. One point is, in fact, a lot of places throughout Or Masechta, Tosfos, most places in Shas, of course, Tosfos doesn't have to give a commentary because Rashi already covered that thoroughly. Tosfos only has to explain the deeper points. Here in Masechta Tanis, Tosfos does a lot of explaining the basic meaning of the Gemara, more like Rashi does, implying that maybe they didn't have a copy of Rashi in front of them. Be that as it may, we'll call it Rashi anyway to keep things simple. But anyway, Rashi over here says that when we say Lonim Suru B'Yav Shliach, means that Hashem, that unlike a lot of other things in the world, that Hashem puts a malach in charge of it, these three things Hashem reserves for himself to do. The Rashi gives examples over here. You have, for example, the Gemara in Pesachim mentions a sar of hail, a malach that Hashem sends hail through him. And a Gavriel Sarshal Eish, and so on and so forth, whereas these three are reserved exclusively for Hashem. Rashi in Sanhedrin, where this Gemara is also brought, says differently, and Tosfos also discusses it over here, that it means that it can mean that Hashem never gives them, that Hashem never gave them all three to one person at a time. Sometimes each one of them individually Hashem gave at one time or another to a tzaddik, but never all three of them simultaneously. Anyway, they are. So the three of them are Ve'elohein Shochoya, of a woman giving birth. Some of Foshim say it means pregnancy, others say it means birth. Veshog Shomim and rain. Veshog Tchias Mason. So those three, each one of them individually at one time or another, was given to a tzaddik. Shochoya, you have Elisha, where you promised the Isha Shunamis that she's going to have a baby. Shog Shomim was, as the Gemara is going to discuss further on, that it was given to Eliyahu Hanavi for a period of time. Tchias Mason also was given to him and to Elisha, but never all three of them at once, or even two of them at once. So in that sense, then those three are unique. Again, according to Rashi over here, it's not so much that, but rather that Hashem never to begin with delegates a malach to take care of those three things, rather he does them himself. Tosfos actually brings up a point that there's another pasuk that the Gemara is going to bring psukim to show that all three of these are done directly by Hashem, but you have another one, the pasuk in Yirmiyah, that refers to the destruction of Bavel, where there's an expression in the pasuk, Pasach Hashem Esetzorei by Yotzes Klei Zameh, Hashem opened up his treasury and took out his tools of anger, implying that those are also under Hashem's direct control. They're not given over to a shliach. So why are we not mentioning them over here? So Tosfos says one thing is we only want to mention things of goodness. We don't want to mention a thing. We don't want to mention a thing of anger. And then there's a number of other different explanations as well about why that is. Hakosev brings another point over here another point from the Ravid that the reason is because that's a one-time thing. It's talking about the destruction of Babel and other examples like that, the destruction of Sancheirov's army, other things like that. But each of those is a one-time thing in history, as opposed to Choya and Gishomim. Okay, Tchias Mason is also a one-time thing, but still, that's the climax of history. That's a little bit different. Then Akosov also brings from the Ravid, similar to what Rashi is saying over here, that it means that these three things are not delegated to Malachim or other creatures of Hashem's, but rather Hashem takes care of them himself. Why Dafka these three things? There's a couple of explanations. One of them is because they're L'mayim Miderach HaTeva. Many times you have a woman is barren for many years and gives birth, as we have several examples in Tanakh and even in our times. So therefore, it's a thing L'mayim Miderach HaTeva. Gishomim also, sometimes by nature, it shouldn't rain, and then tzaddik davens, or tzibur davens, and it rains, so therefore that's also l'mayla m'derech hateva, and tchias ha'mesim obviously is also. Another point is also, some mafoshim make a point, is that these three things are all involved bringing new life into the world, and therefore Hashem reserves them for himself. Anyway, shochoya d'chtiv, where do we see with a woman becoming pregnant and giving birth? The pasuk says, "By Yishmaelei Elokim, by Yiftachas Rachma." Hashem listened to Rachel's tefillas, and He opened up her womb. By Yiftach implies that He personally, so to speak, opened it up. Marsha points out that you have by Leah also, by Yar Hashem Kisnu Leah, by Yiftachas Rachma. But since over here it says explicitly, "By Yishmaelei Elokim, by Yiftach," so you have the word Elokim right before by Yiftach, then the Gemara preferred to bring that pasuk. The one from Rain, Hashem Hashem will open up for you his good storehouse, and the pasuk continues, losses matar to give rain for your land in its proper time. So we see again that Hashem, so to speak, opens it up personally. You will know, says Yechezkel, that I am Hashem, when I open up your graves. So in other words, again, this is Hashem himself is saying, I will open it up. So therefore, these three keys are exclusively in Hashem's hands.
Woman has a baby, Hashem opens up every woman's womb. So what's the big deal with the word?
That's what we're saying over here, that every time, yeah. When in particular, when you have a woman who was infertile for a long time and then has a baby, that specifically, that right. But we're saying more generally, any time that a woman successfully becomes pregnant and gives birth, then yes, it's Hashem's direct doing. He's not delegating it to any or anything like that. There was actually a point. The Menorah Samar makes a point. Many times when we talk about Malachim, what we really mean is the various forces of nature that Hashem created, and we personify them as Malachim. We speak of Michal, the Sar Shamayim, Gabriel, Sar Shal Eish, and so forth. Really, if you think of it, really it means the various natural forces, the force of fire and of heat and burning and whatever that Hashem created in the world, and the force of moisture and whatever, etc. So the same thing over here, we're talking about there are forces of nature that Hashem created in the world, which are things happen according to those, and then you have these three things which are higher than nature, because each of them often happens in a way that you couldn't have rationally predicted in any possible way. The Ma'arava Amri in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, they said there's a fourth one, Af Nafteach Shel Parnasa, also the key of Parnasa, that a person should be able to make a livelihood. Because the pasuk says, you open up your hand and masbia l'chol chai rotze. Marsha says, the drasha is because poseach and masbia are in third person. Then all of a sudden you have yodecha in second person. So therefore it means yodecha, your direct hand, is involved, not a shliach. So wait. So therefore you have that one as well. Rabbi Yochanan, my time, like Amalah. Now, why does Rabbi Yochanan not say like that? Lahai, why didn't he say that one? Amalah, Rabbi Yochanan, Shomim Nami Hainu Parnasa, because rain and Parnasa are both part of the same thing. When there's rain, then prices, then people have grain, and prices are low, and people are able to buy what they need to live on. When there's no rain, then prices go up, and people have a hard time making ends meet. So the Torah and various other Rishonim explain, this is why the Gemara has not really clearly expressed with all of this why it is that Shamim is mentioned specifically in the Bracha of Tchias HaMesim, but now we see this is the connection, because those two are the keys that Hashem, are two of the keys that Hashem keeps for himself. In fact, we mention all four of these things in that Bracha. We mentioned the rain, Mashav Ruach Moda Geshem. We mentioned during the winter time, anyway. We mentioned Tchias HaMesim, Mechaya HaMesim, Mechaya HaMesim, Rachim Rabim. We mentioned Parnosa, Mechalko Chaim B'chesed. And we mentioned, the Prisha points out, we also mentioned childbirth, in that we say, Umatir Asurim, because the baby is like imprisoned inside the womb, and then Hashem releases it from there. You have that kind of concept even has significance in halacha, the concept that a baby coming out of the womb is considered like somebody who came out of jail. The Gemara in Moed Tot mentions that the same way a person, for example, was in Rambam Shlosha Prakim a couple of days ago, that where if a person comes out of jail during Chalamoyed, they were allowed to cut their hair, even though normally you can't take a haircut Chalamoyed, but here they couldn't do it before, so they're allowed to. The same way, the Gemara says, you're allowed to cut a newborn baby's hair during Chalamoyed for the same reason, he came out of jail. So there is really a direct connection between them. The Torah also then goes on and points out that actually, if you count the number of words in the bracha, you have 51 words, including Masha Baruch Amoda Geshem. The bracha Atagibur, from Atagibur until Baruch Atah Hashem, Chaya Mesim, has 51 words. The 51 words, he says, correspond, if you count up the number of words in the four psukim that the Gemara has quoted over here, referring to each of these things, the whole pasuk goes over there, whatever the pasuk of Shomim, Yiftach Hashem L'chor, so that's all. If you count up the words in the four psukim over there, you come out with a total of 51 words, he says. That's why we have all four of those things. I mentioned in that bracha, he says also a very interesting remez is the initials of these four things. We're saying these are the keys that Hashem keeps to himself. The initials of them spell out Mafteach, Motor, Parnasa, Tchias HaMesim, and Choya. So you actually have the four of them together spell out the word mafteach.
Same for Sekhs and Defa Maspila Hall.
Twice
a day, right?
Yeah.
My shayla is on the simple title. People want health. They want to be married. They want children. They want money. All these things. And they ask him for that stuff. And Hashem does it give. So it's not a straightforward emes pesach pasuk.
Okay, so it certainly is MS, but you need to learn. The short answer is the shortest answer is we don't know how Hashem does things. Hashem has his own fishbonus. One thing is you can look if you want. You can look in Kundra Samayan, someplace around Peret Thoth. There's a couple of prokem over there that deal with the point. We learned in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, for example, Odom Nidun, that a person is judged on Rosh Hashanah, and then Odom Nidun B'chol Yoim and B'chol Shah. What's the need for all of those judgments? He makes the point over there that sometimes you can have, for example, that Hashem has decided a person should have a certain goodness, but for one reason or another, it doesn't actually come down Lamata. So there is that goodness up there in Olam HaSel Yonim, but for one reason or another, we don't see it Maisa B'Poyol. This is why we always ask that there should be Tovan Nirvan Nigla. We want to not just have goodness, but that we should see it in a revealed way. But nonetheless, Hashem is supplying the Maspiyah V'chol Chayrotzen. We just don't always see it for one reason or another.
So it's not revealed
as many times. Okay. Onward. Tanya, we learned then. So that's that. So that explains then the connection of Gshomim of Gshomim to Tchias HaMesim and why we're calling Gurus Gshomim. Now the Mishnah presented a couple of opinions about when we start saying Masha Baruch Moed HaGeshem, whether on the first day or the last day of Sukkos, and then the Gemara brings more opinions. Tanya, Me'emas HaMaskirin Al Gshomim. From when do we mention rain? In davening, and again, we're talking about Masha Baruch Moed HaGeshem. We're not yet talking about the same Talamotar. Rebbe Eliezer Omer Mashas Netilas Lulav. Rebbe Eliezer says, from when we start taking the lulav, meaning he holds you start saying it on the first day of Sukkos. Rebbe Yeshua Omer Mashas HaNachosay. Rebbe Yeshua says, once you put it down. Now, Rashi over here says that means on the seventh day of Sukkos, which would imply that according to Rebbe Yeshua, then you begin saying Masha Baruch Moed HaGeshem on Hashanah Rabbah. Now, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua points out to Rabbi Eliezer, how can you be mentioning rain during Sukkos? Rain during Sukkos is not a simon brach. And Rabbi Eliezer says, listen, we're not talking about asking for it yet. We're only talking about mentioning it. So therefore, it's not such a big deal. Now, if Rabbi Yeshua is saying you start on the seventh, don't you have the same problem? You still need to eat in the sukkah the rest of the seventh day. So some are showing him say, okay, listen, you know, fine. The couple of hours from when you first start saying it on Shacharis, on Hashanah Rabbah, in Mincha, maybe even on Hashanah Rabbah, until the end of the day when you don't have to eat the sukkah anymore is not long enough for it to be such a thing that it should be a lack of a simen brach. That said, later on, Rashi says, and Tosfos over here says, that it means actually the eighth day. It means that you wait until what's the last moment of the day when you take lulav is the last moment of Hashanah Rabbah, the seventh day. So therefore, according to that, you would start mentioning rain. You'd start saying Mashal Baruch in Ma'ariv of Shmini Atzeres. And Rashi himself says later on, the eighth day, so there's a bit of discussion among the Noisa Kalin and the Gemara and Agos Ma'arav Ranshburg and others about what Rashi actually holds. Does he mean that Rabbi Yeshua means that you start on the seventh day, or does he mean the seventh day is the last day when you take the lulav, and therefore you begin on the eighth day? The Yerushalmi actually mentions, by the way, we don't want to begin by Ma'ariv because not everybody is in shul by Ma'ariv, which is why we begin in the morning. Anyway. Yeah, so the idea is like this. In Eretz Yisrael, the rainy season begins around Sukkot time and runs until the beginning of Nisan, approximately. What?
That's why
you say Shomim. So that's why we're asking for Shomim. That's why we're mentioning Shomim at that time. But Rabbi Yeshua is pointing to Rabbi Eliezer is saying as soon as Sukkot comes and Avachag Nidonim Alamayim, then we should at least be mentioning that Hashem does us the favor of giving us rain. But Rabbi Yeshua is pointing out that it's a simon kol of Avachag, and therefore we want to wait until we don't have to sit in the Sukkot. So he was saying, Mishas HaNachosai, so Rabbi Yeshua, Mishas HaNachosai, from when you put down the wood. Omer Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Eliezer explains, why am I saying you should say from the beginning of Sukkos, Hoyo v'dalad minin alolo einin boin elu l'ratas alamayim. The reason for the Dalad Minim, why did Hashem pick Davka, these four species? Because to appease Hashem about water, because all of these four species need lots of water to grow. So Hashem should dalad minim alolav yefshav behem blei mayim, just like they can't live and they can't grow without a lot of water. And Marsha quotes from the Yerushalmi that says they've come as praklitim, they come as like defenders of ours. That Hashem in the schus of them that Hashem should give us rain. So the same way the world can't exist without water, and therefore Rabbi Yeshua, therefore Rabbi Eliezer says, as soon as we start taking the dalad minim, is when we should start at least mentioning rain in Shemoneh Esrei. Obviously, as we know, the halacha is like that. We start on Shmini Atzeres, as Rabbi Yeshua says. Okay, the Gemara then brings more opinions on the subject. One of them is that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says that you begin asking for, that you begin mentioning rain, you begin saying Mashal Baruch Mor Degeshem on the second day of Sukkos. So where does he get that from? So the Gemara explains, because he holds that it follows the schedule of Nisuch HaMayim. And he holds that, now usually we say Nisuch HaMayim takes place during all 7 days of Sukkos, but Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira holds that in fact it takes place only beginning from the second day of Sukkos. How does he get that? So because he says, where do you have the remes for in the pasuk? Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Nemav Hasheni v'niskehem, every day when it lists the korbanos, every day it says, here on the second day it says v'niskehem with an extra mem. V'nemav Hashishu and Sachecha, on the sixth day it says v'nisachecha with an extra yud. V'nemav Hashvi'i k'mishpat tom, and on the seventh day you have k'mishpat tom instead of every other day it says k'mishpat. Harei mem yud mem, so you have those extra three letters. Harei kan mayim, therefore it spells out the word mayim. Remez mikan remez the nusach mayim in our Torah. So here you have a hint in the Torah for Nisuch HaMayim. So according to him then, since the Remez begins only with the second day of Sukkos, therefore according to him, we begin Nisuch HaMayim only on the second day. And therefore according to him, Mashal Baruch Mor Degeshem also begins only on that day. Marsha points out, by the way, if we have the Mem and the Yud are hinted at with the Nisachim, why on the seventh day instead do we have it hinted at in the word K'mishpatam? And he says, because what is the seventh day? The seventh day is Hoshana Rabba. That's the end of the judgment of Hashem for the year. Therefore, the extra letter is put together with the word kamishpat, and to make kamishpatam, to hint at the mishpat, at the final judgment of Hoshana Rabba that takes place on that day. Meanwhile, by the way, the Gemara mentions other opinions who say that B'chlam, Nisuch HaMayim, is a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, and the definition of halacha l'moshe m'Sinai is there's no remez for it at all in Torah Shebichsav. So according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, not. There's a remez for it, therefore, according to him, it's not Torah Shebichsav. I should say, according to the other, it's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. The definition of halacha l'moshe m'Sinai is that there's no remez for it in Torah Shebichsav. So the other mandamas, Rabbi Akiva in particular, hold that it's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira holds it's not, since there's a remez for it in the pasuk. Okay, the Gemara goes on and says, Tana, b'tal uveruchos lo'chiyuv chachamim lahazgir. The chachamim do not require you to mention that Hashem brings dew or that Hashem makes the wind blow. So we don't have to say mashiv ruach, and we don't have to say merid at all. The imbol lahazgir mazgir. If you want to mention it, then you can mention it, which is why. So we do say mashav ruach merid hageshem. Even though lahalocha, we would really only have to say merid hageshem. Tosfos points out because further on the Gemara explains that after all there is a certain advantage when it rains and then afterward the wind blows. Then that makes it extra good for the plants. So therefore, we do want to mention the wind anyway, even though we don't strictly speaking need to. As far as dew, we don't need to mention it at all, which is why Yab Minig Ashkenaz is that you don't. During the summertime, they just go Mechayim Esim Atad Abla Yishiyah Mechal Kochayim Bechesed, and in the winter they say Mashav Ruach Mor Degeshem. Meanwhile, we have that we say Merid Atol during the summer. So the Gemara is saying you're not required to, but if you want to, you could. One advantage of it is, by the way, as you have the halacha, if you forget, the Gemara deals with the halachas of it, if you forget Mashav Ruach Mor Degeshem if you say Mashav Ruach Mor Degeshem during the summer, then you have to go back because it's not the rainy season. And in fact, at the time when rain is not such a bracha. But if you don't say it during the winter, then it depends. If at least you say Merid Atol, then at least you are Yotze, and you don't have to go back and daven Shemana Esrei. If you don't say anything at all, then you do. So saying Merid Atol has that advantage that at least during the winter you're not as likely to have to go back. You have similar dinim as far as the same Talamotar and the same Brach. Same thing. If you say Talamotar during the summer, you'd have to go back. And if you don't say it during the winter, then you'd also have to go back. There is, by the way, an interesting discussion about among the poskim about what they do in. First of all, there's the question: what about in countries where they need rain other times during the year? The Rosh mentions a point. The Rosh tells a story on himself. He says, "Now the Rosh lived in the first half of his life in Germany. He was one of the Gedolei Yisrael over there. He was famously in the Talmud of Maharav Wittenberg. Eventually, he had to escape from Germany because they were after him. They were going to arrest him the same way as they arrested Maharav Wittenberg and hold him for ransom. So he and his entire family escaped. he says when he was passing through, he was passing through Provincia, the southern France, and he found over there, first of all, he says he found they have the minhag, unlike most of the people in the rest of Chutz Laaretz, where they begin saying the same Talamotar on Zayin Cheshvan, same as in Eretz Yisrael. And he said, you know, that's a good thing. They tak and need rain that early in the year. So he says, so he argues like this. He says, why Bechlal do we only start the same Talamotar? We only started in early December. So later on in the parak, the Gemara explains that you go according to Tekufas Tishrei. It's 60 days after Tekufas Tishrei in Bavel. That's when they needed rain. So the Rosh points out, you know, look, usually, of course, when we have a machlokas within the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, we follow the Bavli because they were later and because they were later and then so on and so forth. But when it comes to this, this is not a machlokas about what the halacha should be. This is a thing in Metzius. Now, it's Yisrael, they need rain earlier in Bavel, and they need it only later. If we live in other countries where they need rain earlier, why taka shouldn't we daven for it earlier? So the Rosh explains, he says a few years later, after we had settled in Spain, one year there was a terrible drought over there, and they desperately needed rain even during the summer. And he held, and he wrote letters to people arguing to other Gdolei Yisrael of his time, that we should say the same Talamotar in the whole country during that time. You're not supposed to say it during the summer. He says maybe if you have an individual city, then something you can't, but a whole country, for sure they should be able to. Lemaisa, though, the halacha was not accepted like him, and still Ado Yemazeh in Chutz Laaretz, we start only in early December. But then there became a few hundred years later, there was an interesting discussion that developed. What about Jews in the southern hemisphere, where the seasons of Bechlal reversed? In fact, historically, the very first recorded Shaila that ever came from the Americas was from a Jewish community in Brazil in the 1600s, where they wrote to one of the Rabbanim in Amsterdam with just that question. All winter and sea and summer are the opposite of yours. When should we be saying Masha Beruach and Moed Atol? And when should we be saying the same Talamotar and the same Bracha? So it developed into a discussion among the poskim what exactly they do. I think the most widespread minhag is that they do still say it on the same schedule as we do. However, they say since it's the opposite season for them, then they say the other one in Shema Kelev, because the Gemara says that you could always, if you need it at a certain time, then you can't say it in Baruch Aleinu, but you could say it in Shema Kelev. I'm not completely certain about that though. I've heard different things from different people at different times. Maybe, I guess, people over here who have relatives or friends in the southern hemisphere or who themselves have been in yeshiva over here or over there maybe can update me on that. So my time, the Gemara says, why is that? Why don't you have to mention Tal and Ruchas? Amar Rav Chanina, Tal v'Ruchas ein netzorin. Because the dew and the wind never stop. There's always dew and there's always wind. So therefore, we don't specifically have to daven and we don't specifically have to mention the greatness of Hashem that He brings them, because they're available all the time anyway. We want to focus on Gvuras, the fact that Hashem does something powerful and brings us rain when it's not expected, but not when it comes to Tal and Ruchas, which anyway come all the time. There's a few places in the Kurta Sichas where the Rebbe points out the deeper idea behind that. Tal particularly, we have Tal versus Geshem. Geshem comes, rain comes from the clouds, but as the Gemara mentions later on in the Perek, ultimately it comes from water that evaporates from the earth and then forms clouds and rain, and then it rains. So rain is a symbol of Isirusa de Lasata. We have the very first rain that came after Hashem created the world was the Adam Ayin Labidus Adama. There was no man around to work the earth yet, and as Rashi says, to realize that rain is important. And then after Hashem created Adam, then he davened for rain, and then it rained. So rain is an example of Isirusa de Lasata. So that you have. Sometimes it's going to be, sometimes it's not going to be, depending on the Adi Alam and Oritz, right. Hishka Eskopnei Adama, right. So there was that Ad Yalam in Aretz, but Rashi explains over there that's Odom Davin, that there should be that, and then the Pesukim are not necessarily written in order. The Pesuk is describing how did there first come to be rain, the Ad Yalam in Aretz, because Odom Davin for it. Because before that, the Odom Ayed Labed Asadoma, and once there was an Odom, then he Davin for it, and then the Ad Yalam in Aretz, yeah. So rain is a symbol of a Sirusa de Lasata. For that reason, also, that's why we start davening for it in Tishrei, with our Avodah of Tishrei, is all the Sirusa de Lasata. We're the ones who have to take the initiative to come close to the Eibishter and to do Tshuva. On the other hand, Tau is representative of Isidro Sidil Eila. It comes without you having to do anything. In fact, there are places in Psukim, for example, Eichatal Yisrael, the Gemara quotes it later on in the Perek. Hashem says, I'll be like the dew for the Jewish people. I'm providing for you no matter what. Therefore, we daven for it in Nisan, which is the time of Isidro Sidil Eila, the Eibishter unilaterally took us out of Mitzrayim. And therefore, that's what the Gemara said means when it says Tau Lemi Atzer, because there's always going to be Isidro Sidil Eila, the Eibishter always provides for us no matter what. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ugova, Yud Gimel Eir. The pasuk says Kate Sam Lachosha. Hashem made an end for darkness, and the Medrash says that means Hashem gave a limit. There's a certain amount of time how much the world is going to have to be in darkness. So what does that mean? So Tzemach Tzedek explains that you have the Zohar explains you have a pasuk in Kehelis that says Lachilzman, everything has a time. The Ace Lachol Chepetz, and there's a time for everything that needs to happen. That means there's a certain defined time, a certain defined maximum time for the darkness of Golos. So the Rebbe goes on to explain, Or Dorches Achoshech, light always pushes away darkness, and even Ma'at Or Dorches Havim Achoshech. Kate Sam Lachoshech means that there comes a point when after that Ketz comes, there's not even going to be the concept of darkness isn't even going to exist anymore. The Geula Asidah will be a permanent Geula, that there will not be any Golos after it. That means that there won't even be room for any darkness of Golos anymore. Yad Mash. Continuing with Halachas of Shabbos, so we were talking about Halachas as far as putting up or as far as putting up or taking down a temporary door. So we drew this. So far we had the distinction whether it's on hinges, where they're forced, you're allowed to open and close it, versus we said when it's tied with a rope over there and it's hanging off the ground. And then, since you can tell that it's a door and is regularly used, so it's not an issue of boina, as opposed to if there are no hinges at all, then it's not so recognizable as a door, versus we said where it's a loose piece that you take off and put on altogether. So now you have another din in that connection, that when you have a door that's made out of one board, so that kind of thing doesn't usually look like a door. Usually a door is made out of multiple panels. Even nowadays, most doors are made that way. So therefore, so if you have, again, if you have an entryway that's not usually used for going in and out, so then such a door, even if it has a hinge, but it's not actually attached to the hinges, then you still couldn't use it. Since it's not attached to the hinges and it's made out of one piece, it looks very much like building, and therefore you couldn't put it up. But if it's a door that goes, that you regularly go in and out, then you can be makeable in that. However, there at least needs to be a threshold so it's recognizable as a door. The Alter Rebbe may imply that it may be mutter even without a threshold, as long as, again, it's a doorway that's regularly used to go in and out.